Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The only thing that sleep applies to is the body. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth. What goes into the dust of the earth? The body. From dust you came, to dust you shall return, God said. So the sleep is the reference to the body. But the promise of Jesus is that they will never die. Those who live and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, in a message titled, The Resurrection and the Life. Now here's Pastor Brian.
They were rejecting him. He was weeping for them. He said, oh, if you had only known in this your day the things that belong to your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. He was weeping over their blindness and their sin and the consequences that would result from that. You know, God said an interesting thing through the prophets. He said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in the destruction of sinners. He longs to save them. He weeps over them. He died for them. And so here's Jesus' cheeks stained with tears. And he says, or they said in response, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? There was a genuine question that had arisen with them. They were sincerely wondering, how is it that he could open the eyes of a blind man, but he couldn't have kept this man alive? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now remember what Jesus said to Martha in her response. Having said, I'm the resurrection and the life, then you remember Jesus said, do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the one who to come into the world. Jesus says, have him move the stone away. Oh, Jesus, wait. You can't do that. So Martha, you know, is in that classic position of believing, but not believing with the intensity that she needed to believe with. She believed, you know, sort of like that one man who wanted to see his son healed. Jesus said, if you have faith, anything could happen. He said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Martha's got faith, but she's also got sort of a mixture of unbelief because she just couldn't imagine that Jesus would do what he did. And I don't think anybody at this point would have imagined that Jesus would do what he was about to do. So he says, take away the stone. And he says, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Now, it's interesting. Jesus prays, and in his prayer, he just simply makes the statement, Father, I'm really doing this for their benefit. Jesus knew that God heard his prayers, but what he wanted to make crystal clear to everybody was that the event that was about to transpire was the work of God. And notice it says that he raised his voice. He spoke up loudly. Those who were involved in the occult, in their attempts to heal and do different kinds of things, they would whisper and they would mutter things. Nobody ever knew just exactly what they were saying. It was just a lot of whispering, a lot of muttering, a lot of, you know, these sort of secret incantations. Jesus doesn't do anything like that. He wants to make as far of a separation from himself and that type of thing as possible. So he cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I can't wait to see this replayed on video in heaven. You know what I mean? Could you imagine having been there that day? Unbelievable. I can't wait to see it. I've seen, you know, in different attempts to put the life of Jesus on film, I've seen where, you know, this event has been reenacted, but it's never really satisfied me. I've never thought that they really captured the essence of what happened there that moment. I think we're going to have to see the real thing, and I'm sure that we will be allowed to. But the amazing thing, really, at the end of this unbelievably dramatic event, this astounding event, this event that would have just left people completely stunned, what does Jesus do? He says, "Loose him and let him go." You know, it's kind of like when he raises the daughter of Lazarus from the dead. The first thing he says, "Give her something to eat. She's hungry." You know, for man, this is the most extraordinary of events. This is the most extraordinary thing that could happen among men. To Jesus, it's commonplace. Loose him and let him go. Now, I want to go back to verses 25 and 26 and spend the rest of our time together there. But this great statement, another one of these I am statements. You remember, we've been looking at them as we've gone through the scriptures. Back in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, I am the light of the world. At the end of chapter 8, I am that I am. In chapter 9, I am the door. In chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And now here in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And remember how we talked about what Jesus is doing is he's taking the name by which God revealed himself. I am the one who will become whatever it is that man needs. And then he adds onto that whatever it is that we're in need of. So man is plagued by death. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now notice, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." On another occasion, Jesus will say, "I am the life as well." And over again in Scripture, Jesus is presented as the author of life. In him was life. And we talked about this early on in John's Gospel, but the reality is this. Every living thing owes its existence to Jesus Christ. There's not a living thing that was not made by him, and every living thing actually draws its life from Christ because he is the life. Apart from Jesus, there's no life. He says, "I am the resurrection." So yes, there is going to be a resurrection. There's going to be this great day when a resurrection will take place. As the prophets declared, "Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Jesus himself spoke of it in the 5th chapter of this gospel. The day is coming when the dead, those who are in the graves, will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will wake up. There's a resurrection that's coming, and that resurrection is coming because Jesus Christ is one day going to do exactly what he did for Lazarus, for everybody. He's going to say, "Come forth." And through his power, he is going to raise men from the dead. But notice the promise here. "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Now, this was addressing the immediate situation, no doubt. Jesus is saying to Martha, your brother, he can rise again because he believed in me. But it's also giving us the promise that anyone who dies will rise again. Those who believe in him will rise again. But now, how does that square with, or how do we understand that in light of the second statement, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die? Well, remember what Jesus said about Lazarus. He said, Lazarus is sleeping. You see, God makes a distinction when it comes to death. What we as people commonly refer to death is only death for the unbeliever. It's only true that a person has died in the real sense if they died in sin, if they died without faith in Christ. But if a person is a believer in Jesus Christ, when they do what we commonly call dying, the reality is they haven't died. They've simply fallen asleep. But the part that's fallen asleep is just the body. You see, because a person who lives and believes in Jesus never dies in the sense that God defines death. Remember when Adam and Eve were created and God gave the first and only commandment to them, the tree that is in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. And remember what he said? He said, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now, let's remember the history. What happened? Eve saw the fruit, that it was good for food, that it was desirable, that it appeared that it could make one wise, and she partook of it. And then she gave to Adam, and he partook. And what happened to them? Or what didn't happen to them, at least didn't appear that it happened to them, they didn't die, did they? Oh, but yes, they did die. But you see, they didn't die physically, but they died in the truest sense of the word. They died in the sense that God thinks of death. They died spiritually, and the physical aspect of death is a byproduct of the greater sense of death, the spiritual death. So this is what Jesus is talking about. He says that the person who lives and believes in me will never die in that sense. They will never die spiritually. And a person who lives and believes in Jesus does not die. And we honestly are really sort of contradicting the scriptures when we refer to our brothers and sisters who have gone to be with the Lord, when we refer to them as having died, we really are, in a sense, contradicting the scriptures. We're saying something about them that God says isn't true. We're saying, oh, they died. God says, no, they didn't die. Because whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Death ultimately is separation from God. But whoever lives and believes in Jesus will never be separated from God. And the fact of the matter is, the moment that you take your last breath here on earth as a believer, you take your first breath in heaven. And what we commonly refer to as death for the believer is simply the hallway, it's the corridor, it's the passageway into the very presence of God. You know, even as believers, we still are apprehensive about death, aren't we? We're still afraid of it to some degree. But you know, we're only afraid of it because we don't really take the scriptures to heart. We haven't really laid hold of exactly what God is telling us here. And you know, people often say, oh, but God, I just think about that day and what, how, you know, when I come to die, what's going to happen? A lot of people are going on in life worrying about dying and thinking that, I don't know if I'm ready to die. I don't think I have the ability to die. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. You'll handle it. Spurgeon said it best. He said, you don't have dying grace until it's time to die. Then you have it. If you're all worried about not being ready to die, it's probably because you're not going to die anytime soon. But David described it in such a beautiful way. And I think this is probably the best picture I can think of. He said, Lord, I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. He's talking about the glorified state. So you see, when a believer takes their last breath here on earth, they go immediately into the presence of God. So why does he talk about sleeping? He's talking about the body. Some people mistake the idea of sleep for what they term soul sleep. Some people think that when you die, you go to sleep in a sense. You're just unconscious. And then, you know, however many hundreds or thousands of years later, you suddenly wake up and now it's time to go to heaven. No, that's not the biblical picture. The only thing that sleep applies to is the body. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth. What goes into the dust of the earth? The body. From dust you came, to dust you shall return, God said. So the sleep is the reference to the body. But the promise of Jesus is that they will never die. Those who live and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You know, when you read the New Testament and read the Apostle Paul, you know, Paul was not in any way fearful of death. As a matter of fact, people were trying to kill him all the time. And he even stated, he said, look, if I've done anything worthy of dying, I'm not objecting to dying. If I'm guilty, then hey, kill me. That's fine. He just didn't want to be killed unjustly. But Paul, you remember the kinds of things he said? He said, we know that if this earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in this present tent, we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with the body from above. That's how Paul described his experience as a Christian. That's how he described the experience of his fellow believers. They were groaning. They were like, oh man, I can't wait to get out of this body and to get to be with the Lord. And look at us today. You know, look at the stuff that people will go through to keep themselves alive. They will go through unbelievable torture. You know, a lot of the methods they use today to keep you alive are really akin to torture. I know several people that have been killed, literally killed by chemotherapy. The chemotherapy is what killed them. It was supposed to save them, it killed them. And you find people that go through all of these things and they're being, you know, propped up and they're being kept alive and they're missing out on this glorious new home that God has. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's what he has gone to prepare for us. So when we think about death, we really need to think about it in biblical terms. And if we can't get it, it's because we're not really taking the time to look and to see what's being said. It is truly, we're going to be with the Lord. That's what it is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about here. If you live and believe in me, you'll never die. Do you believe this? That's the question. Lord, I believe. I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the one to come into the world. The Lord wants us not living life like we used to or like everybody else is in bondage to the fear of death. But he wants us living life to the fullness, serving him to the fullest extent, and not worrying about our lives because we're knowing that, hey, we're never going to die. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, you know, how did the early Christians, how are they so successful in getting the gospel to the world? You know, one of the things that contributed to their success was their fearlessness. They were absolutely fearless. Ultimately, they weren't afraid to die. What keeps people back today sometimes from making a full commitment? What keeps people back from going out into maybe dangerous areas to say, hey, I'm going to go here and serve the Lord? A lot of times it's fear of death. Well, what if they kill me? You know, the people that have made the greatest difference for the kingdom of God have been people who said, if they kill me, well, that's not a problem because I'll be in heaven. And that is really the attitude that we should have. We do live in a dangerous world. And there are people that will try to kill you if you try to get the gospel to them. I know a guy in London. For many, many years, he's preached faithfully every week in a place called Speaker's Corner. It's dominated by fundamentalist, radical, jihadist Muslims. He goes out there every week and preaches to them why Islam is not the religion of the true God. And they threaten him, and they attack him, and they have beaten him up, and they swear they're going to kill him. And every week he goes back out. I think he takes John 11, 25, and 26 very seriously. And that is what we need to do as well. Take the Lord at his word and just know that where we're headed, it's nothing to be afraid of. We're headed into the very presence of the Lord. And those little glimpses that we get here and there and now and again, those are just little tiny taste of the glory that is to come. Odin Fong wrote years ago, she begins to sing. And it is, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful pictures of heaven that I've ever heard. He just paints this beautiful picture. And the lyrics they're just so descriptive. He says, you wander outside to the once barren land, the lily white lilies, the golden white sand, the lamb and the lion, and, you know, a child leading them in peace, and on every tree is a garden's delight. The day never ends, there's never a night. And then he says, and walking toward you is Jesus the King, and standing beside him a most precious thing, your father, your mother, your sisters, your brothers, and all of your friends. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. That's what Jesus Christ secured when he died on the cross and rose again. He is the resurrection and the life. You know, the things that people say, like I mentioned initially, oh, Jesus failed. He didn't accomplish what he came to do. The poor Jews, they say, oh, well, he didn't bring peace on earth, so he couldn't have been the Messiah. You know what? Peace on earth is nothing. The destruction of the greatest enemy, sin and death, that's the key. And that's what Jesus did. And as a result, peace on earth will come. But only when he returns and is believed in.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. Do you need a word of encouragement? Then here's a book for you. In Found Faithful, you'll read about the trials and tribulations of eight heroes of the faith. C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon, and Amy Carmichael, just to name a few. When you read Found Faithful, you'll discover that they had real struggles with physical, spiritual, and emotional hurdles. Elizabeth Skoglund helps you to find them to be real people, accessible, and thoroughly faithful to Christ. This book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.